Exodus 16 in your Bible. The man was waiting in the checkout line at the drugstore. Suddenly, a blood-curdling scream and a loud commotion came from the back of the store. The clerk at the register was about to reach for the phone to call 911 when a disheveled mother came marching from the back of the store with a little boy under her arm. The little boy was still kicking and throwing a fit. His face was knotted up in rage, and it was about a ripe tomato blood red. Have you been there? Been there, done that? Even after being placed into the car and the door shut, the boy's howling could still be heard. Another person in line stated the obvious. What a power struggle. Are you a faithful follower of Christ? As you answer my question of whether or not you are a faithful follower of Christ, examine the power struggle you are in with Christ. Now, you may be more subtle and possess more finesse than to kick and scream, but you are in a power struggle nonetheless. The people of the sons of Israel were in a power struggle as they left Egypt. They had been free from Egypt and their enslavement to the Pharaoh for about 30 to 45 days, somewhere in that range. God had miraculously delivered them and had promised to lead them, but now their provisions had run out. They found themselves locked in a power struggle with God. And maybe you find yourself in the same situation. You may not wish to characterize it as such, but you are. This morning we're going to look at a virtue that should characterize and mark your love for God, and the virtue is faithfulness. Faithfulness to the Lord should mark the life of one following Him. Faithfulness is knowing certain truths about Christ and more. Faithfulness is knowing certain truths about Christ and agreeing to those truths and more. Faithfulness is knowing certain truths about Christ and agreeing to those truths and responding in obedience to Christ as your leader. Are you a faithful follower of Christ? Or are you locked in a power struggle with Him? It's more than knowledge about or assent to certain truths. Faithfulness to Christ is willingly submitting and following His leadership in your life. Are you a faithful follower of Christ? Or are you locked in a power struggle? Let's read starting in verse 1, Exodus 16. Then they set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departure from the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The sons of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether or not they will walk in my instruction. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the sons of Israel, "At evening you will know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, for He hears your grumblings against the Lord. And what are we that you grumble against us?" Moses said, "This will happen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and bread to the full in the morning, for the Lord hears your grumblings, which you grumble against Him. And what are we? Your grumblings are not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses and Aaron said to Aaron, "Say to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, come near before the Lord, for He has heard your grumblings." It came about as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the sons of Israel that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the grumblings of the sons of Israel. Speak to them, saying, At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. So it came about at evening that the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew evaporated, behold, on the surface of the wilderness there was a fine flake-like thing, fine as the frost on the ground. When the sons of Israel saw it, they said to one another, What is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, It is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it every man as much as he should eat. You shall take an omer apiece according to the number of persons each of you has in his tent. The sons of Israel did so, and some gathered much and some little. When they measured it with an omer, he who had gathered much had no excess, and he who had gathered little had no lack. Every man gathered as much as he should eat. Moses said to them, Let no man leave it, any of it, until morning. But they did not listen to Moses, and some left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and became foul. And Moses was angry with them. They gathered it morning by morning, every man as much as he should eat. But when the sun grew hot, it would melt. A power struggle. A power struggle. If you find yourself in a power struggle, eliminate your grumbling to God. If you are faithful, you will not grumble. Are you a grumbler? If you're reading a different translation than the New American Standard, it may be a murmurer. Are you a murmurer? I like those two words because, and I don't remember the exact term, but both of those words kind of contain the essence of what they were doing. If God would just... Grumbling, murmuring. Are you a grumbler? Are you breathing? And this may reveal more of your attitude than you realize. Israel was grumbling about their situation, revealing their hard attitude toward God. How ungrateful and how defiant they were. Because in their grumbling, they were expressing their belief that they knew better than God did. If God would have just left us there in Israel, or there in Egypt, we might have died, but at least we had pots full of meat. At least my stomach was happy. And here they are out in the wilderness. And God was trying to do something that was so great. And they were saying, you know what, I don't think you can do that. What they were saying to him was, you're not big enough, you're not strong enough, you're not wise enough to take care of us. They had been freed miraculously. I think I've told you before, it's been some time now, a couple years at least. One evening we were watching something, and as typical, we don't watch live television anymore. It was a recording. We were watching a remake of the Ten Commandments. You know, when you read scripture and when you watch that in a movie setting, it's like something happened, and I grant you that there was time, but I remember sitting there thinking, don't you remember what just happened and you're going to gripe about it now? They've come up out of Egypt. They saw what happened at the Passover, that God took all the firstborn of Egypt and out. And they saw what happened when they got to the Red Sea. And here they are. Pharaoh's army is bearing down on them. And all of a sudden, the Red Sea parts. And they go on. And just a few chapters before this, they were getting thirsty. And God gave them water. How many times does God need to show to you that you can trust Him, that you can have faith in Him, that you can believe that what He's doing in your life is exactly what's best and right, instead of griping? Now, God, if you'll just do what I tell you, if you'll just do what I want, how many times Why is it okay if God does things the way you want, but not okay when he does things the way he desires or knows is best? The people were proving to be unfaithful. Back in the days when expecting fathers sat out in a waiting room and the mothers went into a different room to have the baby, there were three men waiting there. And each of them was going to be a new father. And the nurse came out and said to the first man, "Your wife just had twins." And the man said, "Wow, that's amazing. I play for the Minnesota Twins." About that time, a second nurse came out and said to the second man, "Sir, congratulations. Your wife just had triplets." And the man said, "Man, that is amazing. I work for the 3M company." And about that time, the third man said, "Oh, no," and he got up to leave. And they said, "Where are you going? What's happening?" He said, "I work for the 7-Up Bottling Company." Why is it you will be faithful if God does as you want, but unfaithful if things don't go your way? This morning, are you grumbling about anything? Again, are you breathing? What is it? What is it that you're grumbling about? What is it that you're saying, "You know, God, if you just do this, if things would just work out this way"? What is it that you're grumbling about? The fact that your preferences were not met about something, is that what it is? Remember the story I told a couple weeks ago, it would be perfect if? Let me tell you, God is good to us. And we in this country need to come to understand that he is good to us, but we are turning our back on him. And whatever will come, we will deserve. So be careful about the statement you are making about the Lord. "I just don't think you can handle it, Lord. I just don't think you can. You need to listen to me." Or will you prove faithful? Or will you continue in the power struggle? Release the power struggle by committing yourself to trusting his leadership. If you are faithful, you will trust his leadership. If grumbling reveals your attitude, the lack of commitment in following is due to not trusting God's leadership. From the plundering of the Egyptian people to their deliverance from Egypt, to the killing of the army, to the sweetening of the water, now to the providing of manna and quail, God had shown himself strong and able. Able to provide, able to lead. But the people seemed to follow with their feet, but not with their hearts. Jan David Hedinga, a pastor in Seattle, said in his book, "Follow Me," "Jesus Christ chose to speak of our need to enter and live in the kingdom of God. He meant that God wants to reestablish himself as our loving leader, knowing it is best for us to follow his rule than to be ruled by our own passions or by other fallen creatures who want to dominate us. We can assume that he referred to the gospel of the kingdom for a critically important reason. He was offering leadership and asking for followership. Salvation was a necessary means to that end, but not the end in itself. This, I suspect, is where we have drifted off course. We have failed to show what discipleship means at the heart level, or how to follow Christ from the depths of our being." Winston Churchill said upon being elected Prime Minister of England during World War II, "God did not raise me up to lead the liquidation of an empire. I promise blood, sweat, toil, and tears, but we will never give in." Do you trust God's leadership enough to never give in? The people had to decide if God was worth following. If he was, why didn't they? And you must decide the same question as well. So be careful of the statement you are making about the Lord when you do not follow. Why is it you are committed to the leadership of Christ only to the point of being able to retain membership in the church? Why do you not obey every day in everything? Don't you trust Him with all your life? Part of our problem is that we think that life can be compartmentalized. Well, what I do on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock is one thing, but what I do on Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock or Thursday at 7 o'clock, well, that's different. Life cannot be compartmentalized. Life is seamless. Because if you say you're a Christian on Sunday, but your life, your choices, and your actions, and your thinking does not follow Christ's leadership, then you lied on Sunday morning. So what is it you're afraid of? That God can't provide, that God can't lead, that God can't do whatever? Do you trust God's leadership enough to never give in? Will you prove faithful or continue in the power struggle? Break the power struggle by obeying His instruction. If you are faithful, you will obey His instruction. The grumbling revealed their attitude. The grumbling, the murmuring revealed their lack of commitment, and their lack of commitment showed lack of trust. Because within obedience is accountability. Accountability. Now, there's a word we typically don't like. The people had been given a very specific instruction about manna. I love the way it reads because it expresses the meaning of the word manna. What is it? They had never seen anything like it before. And as you read that account, you began to hear how some of the people were reacting. They were to gather whatever they needed for that day. And it gave the measurement an omer. And what's amazing is what it said about it. Whether they gathered little or gathered much, they always had what they needed. And it really expresses the idea that they always had the full amount. They always had what they needed. Well, some decided that they knew best. So they were going to gather more. Or they were going to, so that they didn't have to get up early in the morning and go pick up that bread. And it became wormy and foul. Then God said, then they began to, had been complaining about no meat, so the quail came. But every day they got exactly what they needed. Every day they got exactly what God knew they would require. God began teaching them back then so that He could be teaching us today that He will always provide exactly what we need. That's why Jesus said, taught us to pray that give us this day our daily bread. Not a year from now, not 6 years from now, not 30 years from now. Give us this day what we need. And some decided that picking up that manna was just too much work on Saturday or on Friday. So they weren't going to go out. They were going to go out on the Sabbath. And what they found was there wasn't any. Little girl asked her friend if she could go on a picnic with her. Just a minute, the little girl said, I'll go ask my mother. When the little girl came back, she told her that her mother told her she couldn't go. So the first little girl said, you didn't talk hard enough. Don't give up yet. Go beg her some, and then she'll probably let you go. And the little girl said, oh, no. When my mother says something, she means it. She won't change her mind. She knows what's best for me. And God knows what's best for you. Why aren't you so willing to obey? Why is it when people think God demands a behavior that runs against their intuitive sense of what is right or pleasurable or reasonable or just not so bad, it is easy for them not to take what God says about it seriously? And man, our culture is rife with that thinking. That's the same as not taking God seriously. I hate to break it to you. Is Christ worth taking seriously? Is living for Christ worth taking seriously? Is following Him, obeying Him, living differently than the world, is He worth taking seriously? If so, why aren't you? Kids, you're told to honor your parents. Why don't you? Men, you're told to love your wives as yourselves. Why don't you? Ladies, you're told to respect your husbands. Why don't you? This morning, are you a faithful follower of Christ? Or are you locked in a power struggle like the little boy? What's your attitude? What's your attitude? Are you a faithful follower of Christ, or do you find yourself grumbling, locked in a power struggle because you're not sure you can trust Him? If you're not faithful and still in a power struggle, only obeying Christ with everything will break it. Will you be faithful?